The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday happy hour. It gets better right now, Dom. We got a fine guest. He's joined us live via stream. He is Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School polling. And Charles, I understand you are bringing us national polling today.
New national poll just out this morning.
Excellent, sir. Well, let me start. Isn't it always the economy? Isn't that the most important issue all the time? Always, always, always. So what is the perception of the economy?
It almost is always the economy. In the best of economic times, the economy will drop to second or third place, but most of the time it's the top place. Views on the economy here nationally remain more unfavorable than favorable. Having said that, the percent of people saying the economy is excellent or good has moved up by more than 10 points since the fall, and the percent saying it's in poor shape has declined. So we are on an upward trajectory, but still the balance is more bad about the economy rather than good, and it certainly hasn't reached where it was prior to the pandemic in 2019.
Well, Charles, obviously 2024 is an election year. We're talking about Dom and I were just discussing candidate Eric Hudvey. We helped introduce a new candidate for the U.S. Congress, Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN. And we talked a lot today about the fact that there will be clear contrast on abortion policy. What do the American people, at least those you polled this time, Charles, what do they currently think about the issue of abortion post Roe v. Wade, post Dobbs?
There remains a very large majority that say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. That's 70% who say that this time. 30% say it should be illegal in all or most cases. The one thing that's changed there a little bit is the percent saying illegal in all cases has gone down a little bit since the Dobbs decision. The percent saying legal in all or most has edged up just a little bit as well.
And Charles, did your polling try to discern whether or not the electorate actually knows where these respective parties stand on the issue of abortion?
No, we haven't asked that question. We have asked whether Biden or Trump would do a better job handling the issue of abortion policy. That's one of the issues in which Biden has an advantage. He gets about 42% saying he would be better, but 33% say Trump would be better. But then a pretty stunning 25% say they'd both be about the same or neither of them would be good on the policy. So there, and for some of the other issues, we see maybe one in four voters who don't yet perceive a big difference between the two candidates.
Well, they might see a contrast if the Biden campaign perhaps features ads with Trump saying, you know, I got you that Dobbs decision. I placed these three justices. He's our fine guest. He is Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School polling. One other topic, Charles, that Dom and I have already broached a bit, Ukraine policy. And obviously there's some opposition amongst Republicans, apparently, to providing additional aid, foreign aid to Ukraine. Charles, where do the American people stand? Too much, too little, just right? Where's the porridge?
Yeah, 36% say we're giving too much aid to Ukraine. That's up a little bit. But the party difference is more striking. We've been asking about this question for a while now, since the war began. And we have seen Republicans develop a small majority that say we're giving too much aid, while Democrats, it's very few who say we're giving too much aid. Independents, though, are a little iffy on the question of aid. They've got a fair percentage, not as high as Republicans, but a pretty high percentage saying too much aid to Ukraine. That's shifted so much since the invasion first happened.
Charles, on other policy issues, undocumented immigrant policy, border policy, I know you have some questions in that regard. We've heard, the former president here in Green Bay and in Michigan referring to immigrants as animals and, you know, those kinds of words. What are the American people saying? What are their sense on where we stand with our policies as it pertains to immigration?
Yeah, it's a little nuanced, believe it or not. there's a substantial majority that say the border is in crisis and it's due to Biden's policies. So that's a big signal to the Biden campaign that this is an issue that voters are very concerned about. When we just ask, do you think illegal immigrants should be, or immigrants who are here in the country illegally, should be sent back to their home countries? Then we get close to two-thirds saying, yes, they should. But we asked a different question elsewhere in the survey about people who are here in the country, undocumented immigrants who have jobs here in the country. And should they be allowed to stay and keep their jobs? Should they be, stay and keep their jobs and apply for citizenship? Should they be allowed to stay only as guest workers, or should they be required to return? There, it's only about 30% that say required to return, and it's a substantial plurality that say there should be a path to citizenship for these folks. So I think one of the questions here is, when people are asked about immigrants, are they thinking about immigrants who have been here in the country for some time, have gotten jobs and are working in the country, or are they thinking about only the people on the southern border right now? I think that's a clear distinction that voters answer differently depending on which way you frame that question.
Interesting. And I would also wonder, and I don't think this question was asked, but, you know, should those that hire the undocumented immigrants, they hire them illegally, should those employers, you know, bear some responsibility for that as well? But let's get to the nitty gritty. Charles, what are people thinking? You know, heads up, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, the fight's on. Where are people standing right now nationally?
In registered voters, it's 50-50 for each candidate, so a dead even tie. That's an improvement for Biden, who was down a couple of points a month ago. When we move to likely voters, the people who are registered to vote and say they're absolutely certain they'll vote this fall, Biden actually ticks up to 52-48, a four-point advantage. And we've seen this over the course of the year, that likely voters are a little more pro-Biden, even when he was trailing with likely voters. Now he's a little bit ahead. The other thing that we see is that of voters who are registered but say, I'm not sure I'm going to vote, Trump has a significant advantage. And we look at 18 or adults who are not registered to vote, and Trump's getting nearly two-thirds support from those folks. So again, you see voter registration could shift this. But we often think of Democrats who benefit from raising registration rates. As the data stand right today, Donald Trump would be better off if those unregistered voters got registered by Election Day.
So among the likely voters, there's a four-point swing from the last polling, if I'm understanding this. What happens when we throw in the other potential candidates, Kennedy, for example?
Yeah, we asked the five-candidate question, and there, Trump takes the lead by 3 points. It's a sort of even split on Kennedy, though. 12% of Republicans say they'd vote for Kennedy. 12% of Democrats say they'd vote for Kennedy. West actually, somewhat surprisingly, does 1 point better with Republicans than Democrats. But Jill Stein does 4 points better with Democrats than with Republicans. Republicans. The net effect of all of that is to draw down Biden's support just a little bit, going from that 50-50 split to a 3-point Trump lead. Also, I've got to say, we're still seeing over 20% saying they'd vote for one of the three third-party candidates. That would be an extraordinarily high third-party vote for national elections. We'd have to go back to Ross Perot in 1992 to find a third-party candidate that came close to that. He got 19%. But normally we're seeing nationwide third-party candidates under 5%, often under 4%. So right now, the support for these third-party candidates is unusually high. I think that reflects disaffection with both Biden and Trump within their parties, and also especially with younger voters and independents.
Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, for a few more minutes. Charles, the knock on Biden, he's old. The knock on Trump, to my opinion, he's corrupt. Which is the worst albatross? I know you pulled on both questions.
Yeah, and it sort of depends on how bad is bad, I guess. 55% say too old to be president describes Biden very well. That's about where he has been recently, and it's, you know, he's not getting any younger. But with Trump, it's 42% that say he's behaved corruptly, and it's nearly 50% that say he did something illegal in the aftermath of the 2020 election. So those two things are Trump's burden to bear. Age is Biden's burden. But then there's one thing that I think really stands out, and that is only 17% say Biden has a strong record of accomplishment as president, and 28% say that about Trump. So this is where the campaign could make a difference. But so far, it hasn't really moved Biden's numbers on his accomplishments, something that undoubtedly irritates the campaign a lot because they think they've done a lot as president.
I'm sure they do, and Trump did have those tax cuts that one time. Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, always appreciate you coming around. Charles, when will we see some Wisconsin polling?
2 weeks, the 17th.
Ooh, excellent.
April 17th. So
we'll look forward to having you
squeeze in a few minutes together.
I hope so as well, because that'll be right after tax day and right after, apparently, Donald Trump goes to trial. I'm wondering if a conviction might shift the numbers, at least here in the great state of Wisconsin. I would hope so, but, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Charles, thank you very much. See you in 2 weeks, my friend.
Great. Take care.
Thank you, Charles.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Join us, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. I want to thank our most recent guest, Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School Polling. Check us out again in a couple of weeks. State polling going to be coming out. You can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Curdy, there's some additional news in this poll I wanted to throw out there and get your sense. We did not get to it while he was here, but this is among registered voters, so you know, not the likely voters per se. But it was interesting to me looking at the breakdown by party ID. Back in the February polling, Republicans were 93% for Trump, and 7% of those Republicans would go for Joe Biden. That shifted 5 points. Republicans are now 88 for Trump and 12. To Joe Biden.
And I'm also, sorry, did that shift towards Trump or Biden? It
shifted towards Biden by 5 points. Also, independents. Back in February, it was 54 for Trump, 43 for Joe Biden. In this most recent polling, it was 46 for Trump, 53 for Joe Biden. Democrats, it was 9 for Trump back in February, 91 for Joe. Now that's down to 7 for Trump and 93 for Joe. So again, it's among registered voters, not the likely voters that we all like is more accurate, but it still seems to represent a shift away from Donald towards Joe along the Republican, independent, and Democratic lines, which I find interesting, at least encouraging, if nothing else.
Well, certainly it's encouraging. It's as I told you it would be, Dom. the State of the Union address. Impactful on the electorate. Apparently, the cocaine worked, Joe.
Yeah, keep doing it, man.
844-967-2789. Damn, I'm having a hell of a time with screens over here. Help me out.
Oh, man, I got you, man. The original Claire, you are up next. Happy Friday Eve, Claire. What do you got for us?
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Devils.
Hey.
Hello, Claire.
I wanted to talk about immigration for a moment, if you don't mind.
Let's sure. do it.
You know that Trump said in Green Bay he wanted to deport every single immigrant, right?
Mass deportations, and he's calling it Biden's border bloodbath.
Right. Well, do you realize, you guys, what that would do to the U.S. economy? Do you know how many of those people are working their butts off for good old U.S. of A.?
Well, I know there's a dairy industry that relies upon immigrant labor here in the state of Wisconsin.
Very heavily.
Absolutely. And meat processing plants, poultry plants, harvesting in the summer, hotels, restaurants. You look around, pay attention, yeah. You'll see a lot of Hispanics working their butts off. Very cheerfully, I might add. That's been my experience with them.
You know, it's funny to me because I'm familiar, and I go up north almost every weekend now, and I go hang out occasionally at sort of a Trumpster bar, and there's a Latino clientele that comes in there for a certain period of time each weekend, like I do. They like their fish. They like their beer. And they're very welcoming of this Latino clientele. Of course, the small business owner likes the money in his till, right? But the actual personal experiences of almost every Republican, even the Trumpster Republicans, well, the Latinos, the immigrants that you've actually known, what are they like? Oh, they work so hard. They're such good family people. They do so many things right. But that's not as they're characterized. It's always a caravan on the way, and they're always terrorists when you hear them described by Sean Hannity. And occasionally now, Donald Trump has picked up on this very harsh rhetoric. A bloodbath? I mean, it's almost like he's trying to desensitize what a bloodbath is. And your girl, Vicky McKenna, I told you I listened in earlier when Ron Johnson was bemoaning the lack of defensive Ukrainian weapons. I wonder why they don't have enough. Vicky is saying, you know, we should do away with the spring elections. Let's stop pretending they're nonpartisan. We need more bloody knuckle politics. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what this nation lacks for. Bloody knuckle politics. More of that, that's, Vicky.
That's a terrible idea, Vicky. 844-967-2789.
Claire, got terrible ideas each and every weekday down the dial. A little inferior righty-whitey talk.
Appreciate your call, Claire. It's not just the immigrant labor here in the state of Wisconsin. Remember, you know, Kurt, I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was a young lad, I worked on a dairy farm. My neighbor's dairy farm, man.
I work construction, and that's hard work, too, just for the record.
Working on a dairy farm versus living on a dairy farm. The reason I was working on the dairy farm, because the youngest of the 15 kids my neighbors had, he wanted nothing to do with it. He was a year older than me, so once he turned 18, he was out. And they needed someone to backfill, so I was already a helping hand, so I stepped in on a daily basis to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning, my senior year of high school, go down my neighbor's house, help milk the cows for a couple hours before I had to come back, shower, and head off and drive up to school. Hard work. Hardest to ever work, man. Never want to work that hard again in my life. Love doing radio. And now, the dairy industry here in the state of Wisconsin relies heavily on undocumented migrant labor. Period. And as I mentioned to Charles Franklin in the last segment doing the polling on immigration, I'm very curious to know of those who are polled in this country about what they think about the immigrants. Well, certainly when immigrants have jobs, the American people, well, they're a little more, apt to want to let them stay versus if they don't. That's the thing. Well, of course, they wouldn't have jobs if it weren't for people hiring them. And those people that hired them, many of them know they're hiring undocumented immigration labor. So, but they get away with it. They can, knowing that, they can pressure the labor. They can work them harder. They can, hang that over their head. to get more out of them, which is not.
You don't like my policies? You want to get deported?
Right. That's that. And I would also just want to mention this. It's not that, you know, just the farm labor and the slaughterhouses and the meatpacking and all those kinds of things, all the jobs that Americans don't want to do anymore. It was also filling potholes on a bridge at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Those cats that died in the Baltimore bridge collapse were all of Hispanic origin, to my understanding. Who amongst us are getting up and doing a job filling potholes on a bridge in the middle of winter or late or early spring in all hours of the morning? Not many folks. So, yeah, you know, people, take a breather when you talk about that. Don't listen to, you know, Donald Trump and Vicky McKenna and all these efforts to desensitize us to the violence that what they want to instill upon the immigrant labor, the mass roundup and deportations. If you did that in the state of Wisconsin, you're going to have dairy farms folding because those cows don't get milk. They get mastitis. It's like cottage cheese coming out of those udders, and it's undrinkable. It's just as asinine to practically think what would actually happen if these policies came into place. So get over the racism and understand what is really actually happening.
Out of the Marquette University national polling Charles Franklin brought to us, undocumented immigration policy, 47% strongly agree with the statement that Biden administration policies have created a crisis of uncontrolled immigration in this country. 22% agree somewhat with that. I hate doing math on the radio, Don, but that equals 69.
Yeah, big percentage.
That's a big percentage. One other interesting factoid here in the polling that I found, of those that say, you know, they don't necessarily approve of Joe Biden, 61% still intend to vote for him. I mean, because I think there are progressives that wish Joe would do more or wish Joe would be stronger on Gaza policy, but they still intend to vote for Joe. I think you should as well. Come back and call us, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, Friday, Eve, happier, happy hour, rolling through it. And Dom, a few third-party headlines. You know, this could be pertinent. I saw you put up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page, Axios reporting No Labels has ditched their plan for a 2024 third-party ticket.
Oh, Crudy, they never even asked you.
If nominated, I will decline. If elected, I will not serve. No, they did not ask me. Apparently, they asked Chris Christie, maybe Joe Manchin, a few others considered. They had ballot access in many states. I'm sort of glad to see that this effort has died. And here's a new one, although, of course, it's being deflected and blamed on others. RFK Jr.'s campaign has called January 6th defendants activists stripped of their rights, according to the Washington Post.
Wow. Well, they're certainly activists, and perhaps they were stripped of their rights because they, you know, were criminals and they broke the law. That'll happen. But sure.
Callers, be patient. We're going to get to you in just a minute. A little of the coverage from the Post. Independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy's campaign told supporters Wednesday that those facing charges in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot are, and here's a direct quote from a email solicitation, activists sitting in a Washington, D.C. jail cell stripped of their constitutional liberties. Well, you do some criming, that might happen to you.
Yeah, man, you know, Crudy.
Dom, I do know, because I did some criming and I did some timing. Kennedy's campaign used the language in an email urging his followers to sign a petition calling for the release of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. In the email titled, "We Must Free Assange," the campaign compared those jailed for their actions on January 6th to Assange and Edward Snowden, a former National Security Agency contractor who leaked information about the top-secret U.S. surveillance programs and is now living in Moscow. And the campaign claimed Thursday that Kennedy didn't approve of the wording in the email, claiming an error on a contractor, you know, contractor.
Coffee boy.
It's always the contractor's fault, but Kenny himself has previously downplayed the January 6th attack and said he's open to pardoning convicted rioters. You wonder what team RFK Jr. is on? He's on the January 6th insurrectionist team. So if you're looking for a place, if you're, you know, a little disaffected by our pal Joe Biden, you're looking for a new home, that ain't the place. It ain't Trump's place. And please don't let it be Bobby Kennedy's place. That's a bad place. 844-967-2789. Going back to the calls, if Crudy can manage a joystick, which is a challenge for me often. Dave from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to weigh in on immigrants because it always bothers me a lot when people say disparaging things about them.
Go ahead. You're up, Dave.
Okay. Oh, do so. Thank you very much. Sorry. It seems like the economic argument is the only thing that works, and that's probably why we haven't really talked about the moral, ethical argument. You know, when Trump talks about deporting 12 million people, I mean, these are mothers, brothers, sisters, you know, these are families that they're talking about deporting. Anyway, Trump, he was talking about how immigrants are going to destroy our Social Security and Medicare, and they're going to take it all. And the whole thing's ridiculous. You know, if we have about 60,000 people every single week, the baby boomers that have started to retire, and those 60,000 people, there's going to be another 60,000, another 60,000 every week for several more years. Those people, you know, we're paying into Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. They'll be no longer doing that, and they'll be drawing on those three things. And yet we have this godsend of over 150,000 people at the border that we're turning away. It's really astonishing. Economically, they're indispensable. 40% of the S&P 500, about approximately 40%, were founded by first-generation immigrants. Did you know that most of the Silicon Valley startups today have at least one immigrant founder? They win 25% of the Nobel Prizes. That's first generation immigrants. They perpetrate much, much less crime. So with every immigrant, our chance of being a target of crime decreases. They have three times the entrepreneurial activity of Americans, and I can go on and on and on.
Before you do, Dave, where are you sourcing all this information from, man? We like to quote sources.
Well, okay. I get my information. I can just say I don't have a list of where I got this all, but I get it from a variety of sources. The New York Times, the Washington Post, Reuters, Deutsche Welle, Politico.
You forgot the devil's advocates, Dave. Maybe you're going to get to us. Dave, there are a few others waiting, so appreciate your contributions. Quite a list. 844-967-2789. And I, at least the things he claims he's reading, he didn't give me the Sarah Palin. I read everything. Well, he kind of did, but then he enumerated them, and that's much more than Sarah ever did. Chris from Rice Lake, listening perhaps on the tap, 93.5. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, you know, these Republicans, they don't care about, you know, they talk about all this immigration stuff. They don't care. They're just going to lower the age of what, you know, when kids can start working. Maybe they can start working these kids in factories at like 8 years old, like it was in the 1920s.
I got a 17-year-old. He's not going to go work hard. I mean,
oh, yes. Oh, hey. Well, we might have to. Right.
I think, you know, he's lazy like his old man, Chris. He's looking for a path, yeah. Maybe college, because I don't think a lot of Americans have the same work ethic. I'm just speaking for my family. We don't want to work our asses off like Americans used to build this nation. Chris, I've worked many hours, but not laboriously, not digging a ditch or doing damn hard work. And I don't think my kid wants to either. And I know Dom hasn't done any hard work since working on a farm in high school.
I told you to stop picking on Dom. I told you to leave the poor guy alone.
I worked construction in high school, and while he was sleeping until 5, I was in the van by 4:30, Chris.
Oh, Chris, come on, man. He works one summer, and I never live it down. I was summertime for years. Then I was every day for my entire senior year, man. You know what a bummer it is to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning before you go to school? Come on, Crudy.
Hey, you know, Dom, you asked a question before about, you know, are these people that hire these immigrants illegally, are they going to get away with it? You live in Milwaukee. You don't have to look any further than Palermo's Pizza. I mean, what they did to those workers because they wanted to join a union. I mean, it's a dirty shame. And I haven't bought a Palermo's Pizza since then, you know, so. Hey, and speaking of pizza, Crudy.
Who's talking pizza, man? But go ahead. I like pizza. What was that?
When are you bringing back the pizza guy?
Oh, Pizza Box.
Pizza Box Mike.
You act like I got some sway around here. You need to talk to the pizza chefs, because I am not the chef. Pizza Box Mike, I look forward to having him on the show. There were a couple of times we've tried to arrange him to be a Cub reporter out in the field. He's done that for us many times through the years. But in terms of programming around here, I don't know if you know this, but I don't work here, Chris. So you'd have to direct those questions to Catherine Lake or Sage Weil. 844-967-2789.
Before we get back to the Lions, just a headline here from Bloomberg. I saw this last month. Here's what Bloomberg says. Immigration to boost U.S. GDP by $7 trillion over the decade. A migrant surge will lift demand and increase the labor force. CBO also predicts a $1 trillion increase in government revenues, according to Bloomberg. I mean, we need the immigrants.
We need more customers. We need, what they say in Animal House, we need the dues. We need the tax dollars. We need the Social Security dollars. We have a gentrifying workforce, an aging workforce. A lot of people are going to be working into their 70s in this country. Well, they're not going to be detasseling the corn and mowing the hay and digging the ditches, probably, Dom. We're going to need some, you know, strapping immigrant labor to do a lot of that kind of work for the next generation. 844-967-2789. A differing perspective, that of a conservative, usually reasonable. Mark from Sussex, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you again for taking my call. Just to clarify one thing on your couple callers back, that was legal immigrants, not illegal immigrants that were doing all that good stuff. But one thing that I really do appreciate.
Are you clear about that? Hang on. Based on what, man? I mean, here in the state of Wisconsin, you know how many people are undocumented immigrants milking those cows?
But he's talking about the Nobel Prize winners, perhaps HB1 visas or genius visas, you know, like Melania got.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Entrepreneurs and all that stuff, and all these people that won awards or whatever, that was legal immigrants. But again, I really do like your show in the fact that the polling and that guy that comes on, I guess I do have a question, and I don't know if they can do this, but I think where Trump is going to win the election in 2024 is in all, African-Americans and all of the different nationalities is where he is actually doubling his outcome from 2016.
Yeah, but when you go up from like one voter to two voters, Mark, that doesn't get her done. You know, when you're infinitesimally small in your approval amongst black voters and you grow from like 1 to 2 or 2 to 4, yeah, that's a shift, but that's not going to win it for Trump. I would say possibly, Mark, and I'm speaking in all sincerity, you might see disaffected black voters stay home. I think that's what Bob Spindell, the fake elector and Wisconsin elections commissioner, bragged about, the suppression of 38,000 black and Latino votes in the Milwaukee market. That is different than getting them to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for Trump, Mark.
Okay. I think you're wrong on that, though, because if you take a look at the 7 key states, he's almost doubled or more the percentage of these different nationalities than he was in 2016.
Fair enough. I think they started at small numbers. How about 4 years ago when Trump bled 13,000 Republican voters in the primary? And here Tuesday, we had a Republican primary Trump's way off in his vote, raw vote totals, and he bled 120,000 Republican voters. I don't think he's going to make it up on black volume in Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
That primary, I heard that the other day, and I just started laughing because that has nothing to do with what's going to happen.
Why such the great differential between 2020, when Trump only bled 13,000 conscientious vote for someone else or uninstructed, and this year it's 120,000? You don't think that's a shift, a monumental shift in the electorate?
No, because again, you said what, 76,000 people voted
just for Nikki Haley.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Trump only won this state when he won by like 21,000 votes, Mark.
Okay, but let's just say he gets 50% of those, and then he turns over 50% of African Americans and 50% of all the other nationalities. That's going to be a huge win for him.
Well, when that happens, Mark, I'll buy you a steak dinner. But how about this? When Joe Biden wins Wisconsin, you buy me one.
Burger King it is, my friend.
Home of the Whopper. Come on, man. Not Whopper Wednesday.
Thanks for the call, Mark. But Curdy's going to be on a diet by then, according to Dr. Lyerly. Maybe a Whopper Jr. Thanks for the call, man. 844-967-2789. We only got a minute left in this segment. Callers, be patient. We will get to you next on the last segment. And I think the percentages, to Mark's point, if you increase from 1% to 2%, that's a 100% increase. Yeah, but, you know, it's not the numbers behind it are what really is going to impact. And I don't know what policies Donald Trump is out there, you know, promoting that's going to attract the African-American. But, oh, that's right. That apparently they're very fond of the sneakers, according to Trump.
Well, I look at the fact that Trump is bleeding Republicans. And more importantly, even the New Marquette University Law School polling we discussed earlier today with Charles Franklin, he's bleeding independents. Those are the swing voters. If Trump can't win independents, Mark, your goose is cooked and I'm eating burgers, man.
And that's prior to the trials. Folks, come back with us, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Busted Pencils coming up next.
And on Friday, there will be the traditional airing of the grievances. Dom's always got a lot of problems with you people.
And you're going to hear about it.
And in the 3 o'clock hour, I've got our friend in broadcast, Pat Kreitlow, former state senator,
nice
broadcaster on the Civic Media Network. He's going to join me at 3:30 on Friday. And of course, you can join us right now. Still time for your calls. 844-96-PARTY. Party up in here. Political party. Wisco Paul, welcome to it.
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devils. One factor that your last caller didn't talk about was the women. And I know the women in my life are not happy.
Isn't that shocking, Wisco Paul, that a Republican would completely discount the opinion of women in the state of Wisconsin?
No, that's not, and that's why they're mad, because they don't seem to care about the women vote, and that's why Trump will lose, and they may lose a lot of... And I'll tell you another thing that's not factored in here, as long as I'm freelancing, is you got rid of gerrymandered districts, so... In a lot of these districts, the Democrats have a chance to get, so there'll be a good turnout there.
I think you're absolutely right, Wisco Paul. But did you say you're a free-balling man? Be careful out there. The fair maps will absolutely create voter interest. I mean, if your vote starts mattering for a change, and it hasn't for like 12 or 13 years, not in the legislative races, you might get a lot of down ticket voters getting out there that I don't care if you're in love with Joe Biden or in love with Donald Trump. You should go out there and vote for your state electeds. Sorry, Paul, please continue.
That's 100% correct. I might be free balling spotted cow, but that'd be it. Hey, the other thing I want to say about Trump is he likes to incite violence. That's why I always thank my poll workers when I go to vote, because, you know, it's just a thing to do. Not slam them in the slap him in the face and call the votes are fake and stuff like that. Anyway, he likes to incite violence, and then he stands back and watches it and hopes it goes his way, just like J6. And when it don't, the people that he incited go to jail and he walks away. And if you look at his cabinet or anything he's involved with, that's his MO. You know, he uses other people, and then when it doesn't go his way, he doesn't know them anymore. So
they all become coffee boys.
He's like a pyromaniac watching the fire he started.
Oh, certainly.
It's a lovely fire. I make the best fires.
Thanks for the call, Paul. 844-967-2789. If I recall from some of the testimony, like Trump was watching this on TV, had the door open so he could hear the hustle and bustle, let's call it, of the J6 insurrection for what, over 3 hours. The guy did nothing while his supporters beat the hell out of the Capitol Police and desecrated our Capitol. But yeah, that's totally fine, Kennedy. You should pardon everybody. It was just people went inside the velvet ropes, right, Ron Johnson? I mean, the gaslighting and BS that's coming out of people's mouths regarding this is continues. And that's why I want to continue to push back on it. Don't take it, folks. When they say that, you push back. 844-967-2789. Go ahead, Curdy.
So what I hear you saying is Trump really likes a good time.
Yes, I guess. Cam from Nina, you're up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Cam.
Not only was there desecration of the Capitol, there was defecation in the Capitol.
There you go. There you go. A little scatological. Snuck her in. Go ahead.
Why haven't I heard the argument get made yet that the only way to stop an illegal with a gun is to get our own good illegals with guns?
Well, be careful what you wish for, Cam, because you know the state of Texas is trying to posse comitatus. They're trying to deputize half the state and make it illegal and give state people, empower them to arrest quote-unquote illegals. I read an article recently, though. One guy's Italian. He was walking down the street. He didn't have his papers with him in that he's Italian and couldn't prove he was a U.S. citizen. How'd you like to have a nice tan and get deported?
Yeah, not too crazy about the idea of some weeaboo in Texas carrying around a katana because they have open sword laws too, I think as of like, 6 years ago? It's not great. It's not a great idea to have them patrolling the streets. It's so disingenuous that they're even complaining about this when they don't even care about dead children in schools.
Well, you know, they're upholding constitutional rights, the important ones, the Second Amendment, your right to live. Well, that's secondary to the Second Amendment.
Collateral damage, I guess. Thanks for the call.
Before Sam, we take that last caller, I wanted to point out, I saw some national polling coming out. This not public polling, some dark money polling. And you know what? The Second Amendment, way down on the list, and I don't mean the Second Amendment, but the right to bear arms, about 54% support. Things like free speech, closer to 90.
844-967-2789. You know, if Texas is going to start arresting with who they perceive to be, quote unquote, undocumented illegals, what are you going to do? I mean, how does that work exactly? If they're already in the state, no, not at the border. I'm talking if someone's, 100 miles in. How do you know where they came from? Where are you going to deport them to? Where are you going to hold them in the meantime? The whole thing is just asinine. Let's get to Jake from Eureka, California.
Eureka, Jake, it's Jake.
We'll have the last word today, Jake. What do you got?
Okay, so it's no surprise those racist Republicans are trying to bring back the slave patrols. I don't know, I guess hillbillies need a job too. But, speaking of the Republicans, they're going to get destroyed in November, okay? The polling industry is circling the drain just like the Republican Party is. They're not taking into account in these polls that are clearly inaccurate what the young person voter turnout is going to be. They're undersampled in all these polls. And every single election, even that one in Alabama recently, shows that the Republicans are going to lose. Sorry, you can't even win Florida with those ballot measures on the ballot for marijuana legalization and legalization of choice. Florida is going to go Democratic in November. How is the Republican Party going to win anything if they can't even win in Florida or Alabama?
You know, it'd be like the will of the electorate done. People want freedoms, whether it's cannabis freedom, abortive rights, And I think Dr. Kristen Lierley, our fine guest earlier today, I think she's got a hell of a good chance. That might be a red stack district, but she is the right candidate at the right time. I encourage you to support her campaign, Kristen with the K for Wisconsin. Also want to thank our other fine guest today, Dr. Charles Franklin, with the inspiring polling, Dom. 61% of people that disapprove of Joe Biden, they're going to vote for him anyways. So I look forward to, you know, hey, more optimistic polling Joe from
Biden
Charles.
To the almighty, you compare Joe Biden to the alternative.
While comparing me to the alternative, I'm pretty damn sexy. Thanks for listening. Call.